to another episode of You Conversations, where we have science-based, health-focused conversations with University of Connecticut Doctor of Physical Therapy students. I'm Mary Beth Osborne. I'm a physical therapist and professor in the Doctor of Physical Therapy program. Today we have with us a group of students who are going to ask the question, does running help or hurt your joints?
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road. And when I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town.
President Carter, suffering from heat exhaustion, fell into the arms of...
And when I got there, I thought maybe I'd just run across Greenbow County. And I figured since I run this far, maybe I'd just run across the great state of Alabama.
So, should Forrest keep running? That's the question we are trying to answer today. Hello and welcome to Pounding the Pavement, where we explore the effects of running on our bodies. Today we will dive into the topic of does running help or hurt your joints, and we will analyze scientific studies to uncover the impact of running on bone health and knee osteoarthritis, OA for short, also referred to as joint health. So, lace up your running shoes and let's hit the ground running.
Great. So tell me a little bit about yourselves and why you chose this topic.
Yeah, so my name is Noah D'Argenio. I have a bachelor's degree in exercise science from Central Connecticut State University, and I am currently a doctorate student at UConn for physical therapy. I was personally interested in this topic because I have been a runner my whole life. I've done cross country and track, so I was interested in this topic. What about you, James?
So, for me personally, I took up running about a year ago. When I started running, like, people always told me, like, running, like, will wear out your joints. How about you, Dom?
Actually, I just started running. So, this is really, like, it's going to be a really helpful topic for mm-hmm. me, like, specifically. Mm-hmm. And I also have a like sports medicine background, and I'm studying with you guys physical therapy right now. So I was really interested in knee arthritis too. So I'm really interested in this topic.
I think it's a great topic. I think that everyone, I had a conversation with someone at a gathering a couple weekends ago, and they said, oh, I stopped running because it hurt my knees. And I'm like, actually, there's a podcast you're going to need to listen to because I don't think it really does. And I've run since I was in high school. I ran cross country. Wow. And I have never had a knee problem. So I'm really interested in diving into this with you guys. So tell me what you've learned while researching this topic.
All right. So first of all, we're going to look at the relationship between running and bone health. So in a study conducted in 2019, the researchers have investigated the relationship between running and bone mineral density in both male and female runners. But their findings suggest that running can have a positive effect on bone health, especially in men. It was observed that greater running volume led to the increased bone density at specific sites, and particularly in the lower legs, which includes the knee, which we are looking for today. And for women, distance running appeared to have a like beneficial impact on whole body bone mineral density. And that's another interesting point we have to look at is that athletes in track and field, like especially sprinters and middle distance runners, tend to have higher bone mineral density than the general population, like, which makes sense because they run a lot and it shows it helps for the bone mineral density. And moreover, like high impact training, like sprinting and jumping, seems to have like positive impact on bone strength and structure, especially in middle-aged and older athletes too. So like given these findings about the positive effects of running on our bone health, it makes us wonder like how much and how often should we run?
That was sort of the question I had. And did it answer that question in those studies? Like the volume, you mentioned volume.
Yeah, so James, can you answer this question?
Dr. Osborne, according to one research in 1992 in terms of bone density, it was actually greater for the participants who ran 15 to 20 miles per week than the control and the ones who ran in 5 to 10 miles per week. with the mileage greater than 20 miles per week, the bone density of the lower legs showed like no further increase of bone density. And the runners who ran like way farther than that, like past 60 to 70 miles per week, their bone density was like more or less like the controls. Based on the current research that we have, we don't really know the specific number of miles that's considered safe. However, what we do know is that recreational running appears to be friendly for our joints. It's not associated with risk of OA in the hips and knees, and might actually offer a protective effect for the hips and knees. One meta-analysis article that we looked at in that was conducted in 2017, when you compared the prevalence of OA between recreational runners and non-runners versus non-runners and competitive runners, the recreational runners had lower odds of having knee and or hip OA. The difference between the recreational runner and the competitive runner, it's not really easy to define, but the general idea is that the higher miles you run per week, the higher the level of the runner. To give an idea of what elite distance runner is, one study conducted in 2016, they looked at distant runners who ran the average of 52 miles per week. And what they found was they actually had a greater risk of hip OA. Also, running a number of years also seems to have an effect. Running was associated with lower hip and or knee OA if they ran for about 15 years. Past 15 years, the researchers had limited data, so no concrete conclusion can be made, so more research needs to be done.
Ah, so you said a lot there about just volume, so OA, osteoarthritis, yeah, is that most common kind of arthritis, right? Mm-hmm. So I think what you were saying, you can confirm this or deny this, that there's a point of diminishing returns. Like, yeah, if you are training for marathons constantly or ultra marathons, that's not going to have an additional effect, mm-hmm, positive effect on, yeah, your joints. It's just that recreational running seems to have a positive effect, but like that additional isn't going to make it even better. It's just kind of, there's a point.
Yeah. And it actually might lower the beneficial effects. So it might actually generate, not, I wouldn't say generate, but like increase the odds.
Okay, so maybe that's where those like misinformed messages come from, that, mm-hmm, they say, oh, these ultra like high level runners are always getting injured, but, yeah, maybe the just doing some moderate running, or like you said, recreational running for fun or for fitness is a good thing.
Yeah. And there's also a bunch of other limits that we have to consider that could increase the risk of developing the OA. Factors such as obesity, what type of workload you have, and like previous injuries could increase the risk of developing OA. And currently there's only a limited amount of studies that adjust for these factors. I don't know, like, it's not the answer that you guys want, but we don't have a specific number of miles per week and an individual can run that safe. However, running an average of 50 miles per week might be a bit too much.
Okay.
But overall, running at a recreational level can be safely recommended as a general health exercise. Honestly, it ultimately comes down to your awareness of your.
Perfect. I think that's good advice. Yeah. And that's a good advice anyway for exercise, that you need to not overdo it.
Yeah. So now we could get into more about the volume of running, aka the amount of running, and its potential impact on knee OA. So this discussion is based on a recent meta-analysis of 9 studies, and it was published in 2023, actually, so it's fairly recent. It was by Burfield, Sayers, and Bumman, and it's titled The Association Between Running Volume and Knee OA Prevalence. Now, the key findings that they found from looking at these studies are actually quite intriguing. And according to the data, there was no significant difference in knee OA prevalence between runners and controls, aka the group of people who did not engage in regular running. Even more fascinating is the fact that runners who covered varying weekly distances from 5 to 20 miles, 20 to 30 miles, or more than 30 miles per week did not exhibit a higher knee OA prevalence compared to the control group. So based on this, it appears that the volume of running does not seem to have a substantial impact on knee OA, like James has mentioned. However, it's important to recognize that previous reviews have presented varying viewpoints on this topic, like we have mentioned. Too much running may be not beneficial. And some studies suggest that knee OA prevalence is lower in recreational runners who engage in lower volume and intensity running compared to competitive runners who run with higher volume and intensity. These findings support the idea that high volume running may increase the risk of knee OA, which is similar to what Dom discussed with sprinters and jumping.
Right.
Yeah. So again, it's like, to a point, it's helpful, but you have to keep in mind that caveat that if you're going hard all the time, like too many miles, too much intensity, that your body could break down.
Yeah, correct. Got it. Yeah, and so knee OA prevalence could actually be lower in runners compared to controls, suggesting that running might actually improve knee health. So there's some mixed data out there, but I think from all of it, we could gather sort of a general consensus that too much running may be bad and not enough running at all is also bad.
Yeah, so finding that happy medium in the middle is good. And when you mentioned the meta-analysis, some of our listeners may not know the strength of that, but in terms of research, where does that fall?
Yeah, meta-analysis is at the top of the top for research studies.
Yeah.
It basically takes a bunch of other studies and evaluates them for, you know, how well they were conducted and really vets them into the community.
Yeah, so it's a high level of research in a very recent amount. So I think that has good, you know, teeth in terms of informing our decision.
So based on the findings we have, like if you are a runner, that's great. So keep running and reaping the benefits. And just keep in mind that some studies suggest an excessive amount of running may be damaging to your knee joint, like Dr. Osborne said. But the other studies like kind of disagree with it. And what we do know for sure that not running at all or not doing any physical activity for that matter can have negative impacts on joint health and many other aspects of health too. So if you are not a runner and would like to start running, here are some steps.
Yeah, thanks, Dom. Step one would be to prepare. An important step to any behavior change is being prepared. And for running, this could be a pair of supportive running shoes, which will help prevent injuries and keep your feet feeling ready to run. You should contact your nearest running store for a proper fitting, and also make sure to pick up some comfy, moisture-wicking clothes while you're there. Also an important part of preparing is to set a goal. This goal should be what we call a SMART goal. This means that it should be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. Using these guidelines will help make sure that your goal is appropriate for you as an individual and can help guide your plan, which takes us to our next step, which is to make a plan. This step should be related to your goal. The more specific, the S in the SMART goal, your plan is, the easier it will be to follow and stick with. This should include a specific and detailed description of when, where, and how long you will run. This will help you stay consistent, which is really important to make this new activity turn into a habit. The third step would be to start low and go slow. What we mean by this is that you don't want to start, or you do want to start with a low intensity. You don't want to run a marathon for your first run because your body won't be used to it and it won't be ready for it, and it could lead to an injury or just you not being interested in running anymore. So depending on your level of fitness, you may even want to start with a brisk walk at first. The ideal starting place is an intensity and distance that challenges you, but is not so challenging that you can't do it the next day or the day after that. The other half to this step is to go slow, which means to increase your distance, speed, or time slowly and one at a time. It takes a lot of time to increase your body's endurance, so don't feel discouraged when you don't see the improvements as fast as you would like.
That's great advice, and I think that anytime you're starting an exercise program, a lot of times the reason people stop is because they're hurting the next day. It feels terrible. You know, they're trying to, as a new runner. Have you had that experience starting running?
I just ran Manchester Road Race.
Like, you did? I heard that's a great one. Yeah.
After that running, my foot hurt a lot. So, like, I was wondering, like, man, I think this was too much for the beginning.
Yeah, and that's a perfect thing from what James said earlier about listening to your body. So, you know, that was too much. So maybe, but you're going to go back and do your, did you stop then forever or no?
No.
Okay, so you're going to go back out there and take it slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned from that
Yeah, I
race.
mean, you get
So
kind of caught up in the excitement of the race too, but
yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, that's
yeah.
something that people who don't run say to runners is that like, oh, how do you run? Like, I hate running.
Right.
And I think it's once you get past that beginning part where it does maybe suck a little bit, and you really get into that runner's high and groove where you could run and not be super tired or sore the next day.
Exactly. You have to get there, and I mean, to me, running is my best friend, really. It's my coping mechanism. It's my routine, and like I said, I'm later on in life, and I have not had joint problems, so I think that people that are thinking about starting should do it again. Like if they hated it the first time, they should try to go out there again. You had some more recommendations for when you're starting.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so there are some tips to help you stay consistent with your running. So the first step I want new runners to focus on is to focus on the technique. Thing to focus on to technique is you shouldn't run to the point where you can't maintain a proper running form. If you can't maintain a proper running form, you know, you might increase your risk for injury. Another helpful tip that many people forget is you have to have proper nutrition. So when you first start off running, you know, your body is gonna need more water and health density, health nutrient dense food to help you provide more energy, and you know it's gonna allow you to better recover. And the third step to help you stay consistent when you're running is find a community member, find a community or a partner that will help you stay consistent with your running. You know. Studies have shown that people who participate in a group activity are more likely to adhere to their plan. So it's important to utilize a buddy system or join a running club because it's very beneficial. To sum this all up, you know, there's a complex interaction between running volume, intensity, the duration of the person's running history, and knee OA. While some findings might suggest that running volume alone doesn't seem to be associated with an increased risk of knee OA, it's important to note that regular and progressive loading as part of a structured running routine has been shown to help with bone maintenance. But excessive load does appear to have a degenerative effect. So overall, running is a beneficial exercise, and it can definitely help you keep your joint health healthy.
So to answer the question that we asked at the beginning, I'm going to ask each of you, does running help or hurt your joints?
Good question. I would say that in the appropriate amount, running can help your joints, but in too much, it could definitely hurt your joints. And you have to take into account other factors like the person's body weight. Their nutrition, if they have any other, say like osteoarthritis or any bone mineral density issues that could lead to more degeneration from the running. So you have to take into the whole person into account.
For me, if you are healthy and you don't have any issue right now, just go out, lace up your shoes, and start running. That's my answer.
Excellent.
For me, it's just feeling your body, you know, just having the awareness that like maybe it's hurting, maybe it's not hurting. So it's just take it slow and then just ramp it up.
Thanks, James. Before we go, I'd like to play a clip from David Goggins. A lot of you may know this man. He's very big on social media and he's a very influential person in a lot of people's lives. He's an ex-Navy SEAL and he's really that person that we've talked about in this podcast where he's an ultra marathoner. You know, he doesn't give up, he just keeps going, pushes through pain. And I just want to play this clip real quick for you.
Just got to run 120 mile a week, 2,000 pull-ups, 4,000 push-ups, and hundreds of reps at the gym. I hear it all the time. Goggins has a great message, but you don't want to end up like him. His body's all
messed up.
You're not afraid of having
messed up
body. You're afraid of effort. See, what you don't understand is this. We're all being tested. And that road to success is a bump road. Has potholes, nails, detours. Yeah. A lot of you are gonna die with a nicely preserved body. No plates, no bad knees, no bruises, no scars. Stay hard.
So definitely some differing views from David Goggins. I thought it was important to put this in and just identify that there are other people who may disagree. He says he runs over 100 miles a week and then proceeds to say how he has plates and screws in his knees and he has messed up knees. So to him, the pain is worth it to run that amount in a week. Us as physical therapists, we would probably disagree with David Goggins on this topic because we don't believe that you should live in pain just so that you could run an excess amount of miles. We would recommend finding that happy medium. Definitely over 100 miles in a week is too much. And find what works for you.
All right. I hope this podcast was informative for current and new runners who want to start running. Thank you for listening. Time to go out and pound the pavements.